Thank God, He is good and His mercy endures forever. Philippians 4:8, let's look on your sheet there. We've been talking for a number of weeks. We've been in a series called, we've entitled, Think on These Things. And if you weren't here for some of that, I encourage you to go back and listen. They'll be a blessing to you. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. You just stop right there. He's going to say meditate on these things eventually. But whatever things are true. You know, there's so many things that can cause you turmoil that you think about that will never happen. That are false. That you spend time worrying about that will never happen. And then, you come to you're worrying about what's going to happen next Wednesday. And you're worried for 7 days. And then you get there and it doesn't happen. You're relieved. Until you think of this other thing that's coming down the pike in about 4 days. Now it's time to worry about that. And that thing, you know, may happen a little bit or not happen or not to the degree, well, only this happened. Whew. But that only lasts for a little bit until you look at the next thing. You can waste your whole life doing that. And the majority of those things never happen. I heard somebody, or I read in a book one time, this man said, you know what I do? I just say, I'm tempted to worry about something, I say, I'm going to tuck that away, and I'm going to worry about that on this given day, like next Wednesday. That's my designated worry day, where I'm just going to put it away, and I'll worry about that then. But when I get to that day, what I find is, majority of things that I had thought that I wasn't going to worry about didn't happen anyway, and so I just push it off and say, you know, well, anything, I'll do it next week. And you could just keep doing that, and you'll find it, try it. Next time you're tempted to worry about something, don't, and say, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that now. I'm just going to, you know, if it's still something by this date, I'll worry about it then, and see how many of the things you thought were going to happen, happen. They don't happen majority of the time. It's just harassment. But if you're always in turmoil over the next thing, you will be sidetracked in God's purpose for you. You want to do this. You're going, and you start going strong, and you think the road's clear, and then something pops up, and you're like, well, yeah, but what about that? And you don't feel like you can move until you get past that point. But the fact is, if you're always looking for the next, this thing to be out of the way before I'm going to be okay, you will have something all the time. I don't care how big. You might think, yeah, but you don't understand. This is in my way, and until this leaves, I really can't be happy. Wrong. And that's part of the problem. Because there's always something there that you think, I have to move this before I can be happy. And that's not in, you're not in faith then, because you're not really expecting it to move. When you get to the point where you start, you're happy in spite of it and say, I have the victory over this, I'm going to be happy right now, you'll see stuff start to move. You'll see stuff start to change. And it won't seem so big because you'll be glorifying God. Say, God, you can take care of this. I think I'll be happy in spite of this. And you'll hear this thought, how dare you? How can you possibly be happy right now? You can't. And if you listen to that, you'll go right back down. But if you'll just listen to God and say, I believe, just like the worry thing, say, I believe in spite of it, I'm just going to be happy right now. Do you know it's a choice? You say, no, it's not. If you had what I had, no, it doesn't matter. I'm not belittling anything you may be going through. I'm saying unless you get the perspective, let me put it this way. Is God falling off His throne with your problem? Are we His children? Then why should we, if we're going to Him, then why are we sad about this when we know the God that could take care of this? So we ought to change our perspective. If we get His perspective, we'll look at it and go, yeah, that's not the big deal. I think I'll be happy right now. And what you see is the more you magnify Him and make little of the problem, the more your faith is encouraged. Because what does it say? Abraham was strong in faith. Let's just turn over there. Romans 4. This is not what I'm preaching on, but it's good anyway. It's related, right? Hallelujah. We'll just go with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's start Romans 4, verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, the promise he's talking about, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Abraham, there was no hope in the natural. But in the face of that, he still expected anyway. Hope is not wishy there. It's expecting. It says, in contrary to what you'd expect, he expected anyway. Expected what? That he'd become the father of many nations. Did that look like a done deal? No. It looked impossible. But what God told him something, so he said, I believe I'm going to choose to follow God anyway. I'm not going to go by what I'm seeing. He said, God who calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. Did he have something to look at? If you talk about somebody that had an obstacle, God has told him he's going to be the father of many nations. There's just one minor problem. He's almost 100 years old, and his wife is 90 years old, and that doesn't look good. So he could have said, well, when, you know, you got to do something about this. Well, what's God going to do? Bring him back in age? I mean, well, okay, give me a son first, and then I'll believe. That's what most people would say. Then I'll believe it's possible. But it didn't say that. He said Abraham did not consider what was in front of him. He didn't consider where he was. He looked past it. He didn't consider it, and he looked at God. With God, all things are possible. Bible says all things are possible to him who believes. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Notice that. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So he was convinced that what God said he could do, and he gave glory to God. And the Bible says he was strong in faith. Can we be strong in faith? What did he just say? He was convinced that what God said, he's able to do it. If God told me, he's able to do it. And he gave glory to God in spite of it. So it doesn't matter what was going on. He said, I'm not looking at that. I'm not considering my body. He didn't say ignore it. He just said, I'm not considering that. I'm looking at God. And I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the Lord because he's my source. And if this is going to get done, it's going to be through him. He's the one that calls those things that be not as though they were. So I'm not going to consider this thing in front of me because it's subject to change. If it's natural, it's subject to change. God can change it. Man might not be able to change it. But what does that have to do with anything? There's a whole lot of things men can't change. Men generally can't walk on the water either. God can do it. God can do anything. But he needs us to believe. Amen. Amen. So we don't need to be wasting our time on thinking on stuff that isn't true. That's where we got here. Like we said before, you ought to have a filter. If it doesn't meet true, then don't let it in. And if you, you know, because the enemy's sly, he'll say, well, yeah, but that is true. Yeah, but you got to put it up against the Word of God. What did God say? You have to put it up against that. And I don't care if it, I didn't say it didn't feel true. It may feel really true. It may even be a circumstance. I'm not saying you deny circumstances. You may look at your circumstance. What the enemy will tell you is this will never change. But you had to know that part of it. You're not denying the fact that this is. But the part about this will never change, is that true? Who knows that anyway? Why? Who's telling you that? Where did that thought come from? Whenever a thought pops into your mind, you should ask yourself, who said that? Where did it come from? Because most time it'll come in the first person, even if it's from the enemy. What? This will never change. See, that's just like you saying to yourself, this will never change. This is never going to change. Who said that? Don't buy that. Don't buy it if it doesn't line up with God's word, because God said all things are possible, and he's calling something different about us. We need to just look at him and say, God, this doesn't look good in the natural, but you are an infinite God. I'm looking to you. I believe you. Now you give me wisdom. You show me out of this mess. You show me how to get there. You show me step by step. I'll just follow you, and I'm just going to glorify you, and I'm going to keep my eyes right on you, and he'll lead you out. Amen? He's a good God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we got, what, 6 or 7 words out. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But he said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, whatever things are of good report. That doesn't mean you deny the doctor's report or the lawyer's report or the financier's report or the banker. You don't deny it, but you don't accept it as final. You don't deny things and, well, I just don't, you know, I'm not gonna believe that. Well, if it's there, you say that's the circumstance, but what is God saying? Because God's power is infinite. It can override any situation. If the doctor said something, don't say, well, I just don't believe what you said. If he's a professional, he knows what he's talking about. It may be on the x-ray or the cardiogram or whatever. That doesn't mean it's final. That's what we believe. Don't get into denial or say, well, I just, you know, if the doctor pokes you, don't say, and he says, does that hurt? You don't say, I have no pain in Jesus' name. Don't do that. If he asked you, he's trying to ascertain something, say, yes, that hurt. You don't have to show your beliefs before everybody else. The Bible says to have faith unto God. You don't have to tell everybody else what you know. And especially if you're standing for something, you don't have to go, you don't owe everybody a report, and you don't have to go around explaining yourself or telling them what you believe. You don't need to do that. You believe it unto God. I don't care if they say, you know, boy, you're getting worse. Well, you know, you don't have to say, yeah, but I believe, like you're trying to counter and like they can bring you down. They can't. In the final analysis, your faith is what's going to go. My faith is what's going to go. I don't care if there's everybody around you doesn't believe. What do you believe? Don't get into fear. Well, I better say something else. You know, I'm letting that in. Nonsense. Not unless you let it in here. People can say whatever they want. I'm not saying that doesn't have an effect on you or can't push on you, but you just need to push back and say, no, I'm not accepting that. But you don't have to tell them that. If they don't understand what you're talking about, you just look weird. And you don't need that. I'm serious. You don't need, the Bible says not to throw your pearls before swine. If they don't understand and they're going to mock you, you don't need that. You don't need to put it at your personal situation out for fear that if you don't counter it, it's going to bring you down. That's a lie. I said that's a lie. Amen. That's a tactic of the enemy. Because now instead of just dealing with the situation, now you're dealing with somebody, you know, making fun of you or mocking you, or you can feel the just, you know, they look at you weird. You know, they may not say anything. You don't need that. Now, I'm not saying not to be bold. I'm saying don't do it for the wrong reason. Don't feel like, well, I got to say something here. You don't have to say anything. It's between you and God and what you believe. Did they mock Noah? How many of those people lived after the flood? No. He was right. He didn't have to go around. I mean, he tried to, you know, I'm sure, speak to him and minister to him. But, and hey, I'm the one in the ark. The Lord sealed the door. Well, there's going to be unbelievers. Okay, that's not new. There are unbelievers. They're still around. That's why we're still around. If there weren't any of those, we're all saved. Might as well go to heaven. But they're still here. We're still here. Hallelujah. Whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is where you need to stay. And it's what we've talked about. This was supposed to be quick review. But glory to God, we'll just go with Him. Meditate on these things. Amen. If it doesn't pass this, then don't go thinking about it. Yeah, but. No, yeah, but it feels so true. No, you need to show it up and not listen to that junk. That's what we've been talking about, bringing our mind over to where it lines up with God's Word so that even though you have these thoughts come in, you just automatically reject them. Just like if somebody told you 2 + 2 = 5, you'd say, what? What school did you go to? You wouldn't even consider it. I don't care who said it. You would not consider that, right? Yeah, we need to get our minds so that what God said is right. Anything that contradicts it, it's wrong. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who said it. If it doesn't go along with God's Word, it's wrong. So Ephesians 4, we spent some time here. It says this, Ephesians 4:17 on your sheet there. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Just look at what we just read in relation to what we've been saying. If you put something before somebody that their heart and their understanding is darkened and they don't see the way God sees their, you know, he said, the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. This describes most, you know, a lot of people, obviously, that aren't Christians on the earth, and even a lot of Christians that don't have their minds renewed. They're in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. This is, that, you know, this is somebody that was a Christian, this wouldn't describe, but the whole mind thing, somebody could still be a Christian but not have their mind renewed. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, if somebody is fitting this description, you don't have to wonder when they come back at you and they don't see things the way you see them if your mind is renewed to the Word of God. That's not a surprise. The Bible clearly says that's what's going to happen. So we don't need to spend time trying to convince people of where we are. If God opens the door and you feel that, we can share the Word with them, but it's the Word that's going to change them. Not our opinion, not us arguing with them. Why don't you see it my way so that I can have peace where I'm at? No, they have a choice to make and they have to come over to the Word of God. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. This is what I want to get to and focus on today. We put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, we spent the last 2 weeks talking about light. And God's Word being light. Jesus is the Word, that He's the light of the world. And how when the entrance of His words, of God's Word, brings light. That if you need understanding in a situation, the Word of God is what's going to bring light. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you in line with the Word, so it all harmonizes. And how light affects us. And He's talking about people being darkened here, and how the Word of God will bring light to your mind. But he said, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and you put on the new man. Put on who you really are. Put on the new man in Christ. And that's a process. I said that's a process. You are born again like that. Your new man is made new. But nothing happened to your mind. Nothing happened to your external man, your natural physical body. So it's a process to renew your mind and to get those old ways taken off and to put on the new ways. Sometimes people think, okay, I've heard a certain sermon, I've heard something, and now I'm changed forever. You may be. And God's grace will be there to help you, but you haven't arrived yet. So you just take step by step, we all take step by step where God is leading us in the light that we see in God's Word today, and as we step, we'll get more light. And we'll get higher and grow stronger and keep going. But no, just because you see yourself not where you want to ultimately be a year from now, don't get discouraged, I'll never make it. Just not going to get there. No. God, we all come from different places. We've all had different things put into us as children and teenagers, and we're all at different levels in different areas. And so God is going to bring you up in your understanding step by step. And so that's a process of putting on the new man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's skip down to Philemon. For the sake of time, might take you a little while to find that a little more. It's such a small book, but let's just look at your sheet at the bottom of the page, and let's look at it on your sheet, and then we'll look at some other scripture. Philemon 4. It says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You get that? That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. By acknowledging it. Acknowledging it. What has Jesus done? What has He provided for me? What has He purchased for me? Who am I in Him? That's putting on the new man. That's as you remind yourself of who you are. And what you are, your conduct and the way you walk in this life will continue to rise up. That we remind ourselves we're King's children. There are certain things, instead of constantly looking at where you are, if you get stuff straight with God, like we talked about last week, if you stumble, get up, make it right with God, and then go on. Don't talk about how you failed and how you missed it and why haven't you got over that yet. That binds you to the old man. That binds you and you identify with your mistakes. You identify with, I failed again. Don't identify with that. Your conduct may have failed, but who you really are is in Jesus. And so you say, but I'm going to change. But I'm going to get better. Lord, you're helping me. And just look out in front of you instead of looking back here. Now, the enemy will come and try to bring stuff to you to get you to look back here. But what we need to do is cast that off and say, no, I know I'm a work in progress. So has everybody else. I haven't arrived, but I've left. And I'm on my way. Amen. And so I'm not going to keep talking about how I missed it there because I can't do anything about that anyway. And I'm working to change, and I just thank God that this is who I am, and that's why I'm looking at the Word, what God says about me, and this is what I'm identifying with. Amen. That's a process. I said it's a process. You don't wake up one day and all the things that you've ever dealt with are just gone. Well, you may be different, but I haven't heard of anybody yet that's like that. I don't experience that. But I do know as I walk with Him and as the light of God's Word shines, In my mind, I let that dominate me. It just constantly going up. Constantly going up. We just keep going up to where we step off into heaven, into glory. We ought to just keep going up. I'm not saying you won't have any challenges. I'm not saying you're not going to change things. That's yes, but we're asking God to help us, and He said He would, and to walk as He said we are able to walk. And we don't get stuck when, you know, the old man rears its head. You say something you shouldn't, or you did something you shouldn't. Just get up, don't stay there, and go on. And just keep putting on the new man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Go over to Philippians. Let's turn there. Philippians 1. Praise you, God. He is so good. He is so good. Philippians 1, verse 3. We're talking about getting our mind over to where till we think about ourselves and think about our situation the way He does, so that we put on that new man. That we think on the things that meet that filter. And that process of letting God's Word change us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun something in each and every one of us, but it's not finished. I said, it's not finished. So why do we start stumbling when we haven't arrived? Paul himself said, I haven't attained. But one thing I do, I press on. I press on. I press on. I'm going to get better. I'm going up. There's no good looking back. It's not going to do me any good. I can't change the past. If you can change the past, you can make a lot of money. Changing all that kind of stuff. You know, you could do all kinds of stuff. Well, no, we cannot change the past. We act like we could. We wish we could. We beat ourselves up like we could. Oh, if only. Oh, if only. The only thing you can do is go forward with the light you have. And if you need to make something right that was wrong, do so. If it's with other people, you know, if you have to apologize, if you have to make it right, if you got to pay something back, do it. But then go on, forgive yourself, and move forward with Him. That goes for the big things. That goes for the little things. Just the little stuff that you missed it. You did something stupid. Stupid. Why did I do that again? I know I'm not supposed to do that. That can ruin your whole day. Your whole week, and you can't do anything about it. That's a trick of the enemy. Now, He said He has begun a good work in you. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ if we'll work with Him. Our job is just to walk in the light we have, just keep going on step by step. Do what He's told you to do today. Don't try to change everything in one day. Don't try to change your mind all in one day. You have things in your understanding that you're not even aware of right now, and I do too. We all do. But that's okay. That's what God's working with. We're all broken in some way. But if we'll acknowledge what He's done and who He is, we can come up and we'll just keep going up. It doesn't do any good to say, I'm just so messed up here. I mean, some people think that's real humble. Acknowledge how broken I am. I'm just so messed up. I'm so broken. That's a Christian easy term people use. You know, I'm just so broken. Okay. Granted, you're human. Okay, you qualify. all right, now what are we going to do going forward? It doesn't, I'm so broken. Okay, great, join the club. We're all messed up in one way or another to some degree. That's why we have Jesus. That's why we needed a Savior. If you're the one that doesn't, then great, you get a pass. But the Bible says there's not one. All have sinned, right? You know, the devil will tell you, come and say, you're just so messed up. You know, at some point, like you're the only one that has ever dealt with it. At some point, you just need to say, yeah, and all these other people are too. In some degree, right? You can, when you really think, I know we know that in the back of our head, but I'm saying what is in our thoughts a long time is, I can't believe I did that. Even though there's probably a million other people on the face of the earth that did that exact same thing that day. And have dealt with the exact same thing we're dealing with. But the enemy will say, well, you just can't believe you're dealing with that. What's he trying to do? If you identify with that, you'll stay there. You'll stay right there. You won't get past it. But if you say, yep, I see that, but this is where I'm going. And I'm going to keep going. This is what God says about me. He says that I am light. He says that I am a child of light. He says that I am an overcomer. He says that I have an inheritance. He said he'll help me. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read a few of those scriptures. Turn over. Well, we're in Ephesians. No, we're in Philippians. So turn back to Ephesians. We'll read a couple of these. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Glory to God. Ephesians 5, verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. He said, you're in the light. You are light. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, that are exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So he said, we are light, and we are to walk as children of the light. And that's how we ought to see. That we used to be over there, but now we're here. We're in the light, and I'm going to walk as a child of the light, and my conduct is going to keep going up. Who I am in the outside is going to continue to change. Who I am in the inside is going to change who I am in the outside. 1 Thessalonians, let's look at that on your sheet. 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You're not. We're not in darkness. So that this day should overtake you as a thief, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. The enemy will say, no, you're messed up. You say, no, I'm a son of light. I'm a child of light. I am not a son of darkness. Those things are passing away. It's getting brighter and brighter. And my life is changing, and I'm coming up, and that's what I identify with. Not what I have done. I'm putting away those things. I am identifying with light, and that I am a child of light. I'm a son of light. I walk according to the Word of God. I walk according to the Holy Spirit. That's who I am, and that's what I'm coming up in. I don't care if you just missed it 3 times in a row, and you did the same stupid thing that you've been dealing with, that's exactly the time you got to get up and say, I said I'm a child of light, and I walk according to the Word of God, and this is changing. This is changing. My mind is changing. My understanding is changing. Look at 1 Peter 2 on your sheet. It said, verse 9, 1 Peter 2, 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." He said He called us out of darkness into light. So that's who we identify. That's how we identify that I am a child of light, that I am one of His special people. That's who I am. Glory to God. So many times somebody will say, "Well, you know, you got it. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that." Look at it as this is who I am, and that's beneath me. In other words, I serve Almighty God, and I am a child of a king. This behavior is beneath me. I don't identify with that anymore. I'm above that. That's not who I am. Not going to deal with that anymore. I'm putting that aside. That doesn't become my father. That doesn't become my family name. You don't need to do that. You tell yourself that and identify with what God said in His Word. Turn over to Colossians in closing, I think. Colossians 1. Let's start in verse 9. It says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord." Notice that. That you may walk worthy, fully pleasing Him. What does it say over in Hebrews? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So if you're fully pleasing Him, you're walking the life of faith. You're believing Him. He tells you to do something, you don't say, "Can't do that. I don't know how I'm going to do that." Or you see something in the Word that says this is who you are, you don't say, "Well, I just don't see that. I'm not that. I messed up." No, that's not faith. We need to step up and say, "Yeah, God, You said it. All right, I don't see it, but I believe You. And that's how I'm going to act. You said I could do this. I'm not going to say, You said I could act like this. I'm not going to say, well, that's too hard. No, it's just too hard for me." You say, "No, God, You said I could do it. I'm asking You for help." You ever think to ask the Lord for help? I'm serious. You're having trouble doing a certain thing? Say, "Lord, help me. Help me. I'm having trouble here. Strengthen me. Show me." He said He wouldn't allow you to be tempted beyond what you could bear. "Lord, I'm being tempted." You ever know when you're being tempted? You know you've done something before and you're getting close? That's a time to call on the Lord. Ask Him for strength. Right in the middle. You say, I see where this is going. You may be, it looks like you're going to get in a fight with your spouse. You know the signs, you know what's going on, and you know some said this is what's going to happen. That's the time to call Him and say, "Lord, I'm being tempted. Help me. Show me what to do. Help me." This is where we live, right?
Yeah, right.
Dealing with something else, you know you don't want to do it. You know if something pushes you, your buttons are being pushed. You know three things have happened already at work. Boss has done this, this. Now something called. You know, somebody else called and you did something with your children. You know you're being pushed somewhere. What you don't want to do is say, "I just can't believe this day I'm having," and start saying how bad it is. Watch how good that goes. You just go right down the... Everybody around you know you're having a bad day. Can't believe it. You're in traffic. And what? This guy... You will just go to pieces. Because what are you doing? You're identifying with the fact that these things are happening and I'm having a bad day. So what are you expecting? More bad. We're like, God, where are you? What's going on? No, what we need to do is say, I see these things happening. Jesus said there'd be days like this. What do we need to do? Lord, help me. God, I see what's going on, but you said you would help me. This is not. I see how I used to react. If it was a day like this, I'd be going down. But I'm not identifying with that. I'm going up. Lord, show me, help me, help me to be strong right now. You watch him. He will help you and strengthen you. And just don't go off to where you used to go and say, I just can't. No, God, thank you that I'm strong. I can't. You said that I could do this. I can. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Help me. Strengthen me. Lord, I praise you. Start praising God in the middle of it instead of saying how bad it is. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you, whatever. If it's something financial, Lord, that you're meeting all my needs, we're coming through this. This isn't as bad as it looks. It's going to turn out right. Just you saying that will start bringing calm and peace to the situation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read the rest of that. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Notice that. He calls us, he said, we have the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. So even though there's darkness knocking on your door, you say, no, I'm not going that way. I have been delivered. God, show me. And I'm clinging to you right now. He said, this is who we are. We've been conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Praise God. That's who we are. Thank you, Lord. Our minds are being renewed.